Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
NFL draft kicks off tonight, y'all, in Detroit. You wish we were in Detroit, Ron? We were in KC last year making it happen, man. You wish we were in Detroit?
No.
No. That was easy. I'm with you. I'm with you. I ain't lost nothing in Detroit. As I told folks before, Detroit's one of those places where it's the only place in America anyway, where when we went, when I was with the Cowboys and we traveled on the road, it was the only place they warned us.
Warned you to what?
It was, don't leave the hotel. Hey, look here, it's in your best interest if you don't leave the hotel. If you do, make sure you let security know, kind of deal. You will be targeted in Detroit if you do leave the hotel, yada, yada, yada. Dead ass serious. Only city where that happened. Now, when I was playing in NFL Europe, it happened pretty consistently when you travel, because you travel as a group of 50 Americans. It's easy to be spotted and easy to be targeted. So I'm pretty stoked about not being there, if I'm being completely honest. However,
I've been a hard pass. Maybe try to slide over to Canada.
Well, I don't know if that'd be a good idea either, Ron. Be honest with you. I mean, I think it'd be fun. It'd be, there was a time in our lives where you and I together could get in a lot of trouble in Canada. I'm be honest with you. I don't know that I don't, unless it's a vacation, I'm going up there at schedule. I don't want to do that either. Something about being in a different country that I just don't. I watch too much Investigative Discovery. Being in other countries.
Canada too, huh?
Yeah, man. Hell, it don't matter.
In Mexico.
Hey, you? One step over that line. Yeah, I mean, I'll fly down there and stay in a very Americanized resort. That's for damn sure. Even who am I lying to? They got AK-47 standing at the gate when we go down there. So, but anyway, we're safe. But nonetheless, big draft tonight. The Texans do not have a first round pick.
By the way, the Astros just lost.
Yeah. It's too bad we're not gonna get to play Hector Neris. Done put that nail in the coffin. I think two of three nights on the Astros.
Led off the inning with walks to Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker.
Another sweep, boys.
Yep. Another one. Five of the first nine. So they've been, what is that?
Lord, what a
is that? No, it's four of the first seven. Team. Four of the first seven, right?
Yeah. Bregman's having at it with the officials. Joe Espada has been ejected.
Freaking embarrassing.
In the calmest way.
Shut up, get off the field, get back to Houston. You're losers.
What is going? Look at this. They look like they are, like they just lost the World
they
Series.
They should look like that. What do you want them to do?
I mean,
they should look like somebody stole their puppy.
Again, I know the over, the it's early, should be over. It's October. It is April 25th. He has leaned over the dugout like there is a celebration about
Jose Altuve.
That looks the way that people look like
when they lose
their season's
the championship.
Ending.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm with you.
Wow.
We got a draft tonight, though, Ron.
There we go.
We got a draft tonight, though.
Nick may need to move back in the first round. Just to save Houston.
Just to save Houston. Yeah, right now. Wow. There is a draft tonight, though, and the Texans do not have a first-round pick. But there are a couple things, Ron, that I think Texans fans need to keep their eye on as you watch a draft tonight. You mentioned one of them a little earlier, the in-division opponents that you're going to catch twice every single year moving forward. I think this division, I believe, is going to get significantly better. It already got significantly better.
I think it has, yeah.
Well, it already has with D'Amico and Will and CJ, obviously. But you look at Shane Steichen with a backup quarterback taken last year, won 10 games, I believe, but didn't get in because they got beat by the Texans the last game of the season with a backup quarterback, without his running back for a good chunk of the season. Indy's better. Tennessee
is set to hell with it. I mean, they're going for it.
They cleaned house. But
then they've added so much.
Yeah.
Darius Sneed and Calvin Ridley. And
They're going to get better at the very least by bringing in, be a more talented football team. And then Jacksonville, Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence. Again, I've said it a million times, they don't scare me ever, to be honest with you, but they are a good football team that could make a run.
Bring on the Jaguars.
The Titans picked 7th overall, and they've got their quarterback, so obviously there's going to be some, they don't have to sit back and worry, well, we want this quarterback, but he's going to get taken. There's going to be O-line help. There's going to be wide receiver help. There's going to be whatever they need at 7, there's going to be available. The Colts at 15 and Jaguars at 17 right now, Ron, they're going to get significantly better. Again, tackle, wide receiver, quarterback heavy at the top. So when you get down to 15 and 17, you mentioned –
they just had their pick of the litter, man.
Yeah, you mentioned Brock Bowers earlier. But I'm going to tell you, man, there's – you know, I've seen mock drafts where – you know, Jared Verse, who I would be my first defensive player that I would take on this board. I think I like him at the edge position, and he can slide inside, light Nass, but can slide inside. He would be one of my top three defensive players on this board for me to get. I think the Colts and the Jags are both going to have a shot at that caliber player. And so they're going to get significantly better as well. So the Texans fans out there specifically watching, pick number 7 from the Titans, 15 from the Colts, 17 from the Jags, and see what happens inside the division that everybody thinks that the Texans are the best team in the division. If I had to bet on it right now, I would bet on the Texans, but I don't think it's near as lock, stock, and barrel as some folks think it is.
No, I think it is closer. And I think the schedule could play a role
in
that. And like we're saying right now, we'll see what Nick is able to do. But as we look at it right now, these teams, and I know some out there may look at this and think differently, but these teams, all of them, the Titans, the Colts, and the Jags, can realistically, I believe, look at themselves and say, yes, there's a real scenario that we can see ourselves being playoff teams. Like, I think what they have done and the talent they have, they can see, like, even Tennessee, which you would say is probably the worst of the group. I mean, they're going to roll out their Hopkins. They're going to roll out their Calvin Ridley. They're going to roll out their Burks. They're going to roll out their Pollard. Like, they're going to draft a big piece, probably an offensive lineman we're seeing. You know, we Jeffrey Simmons, they're going to have back this year. They've got it. They've got, like, they can tell themselves we're a playoff level team. And obviously the Colts and the Jags, they've added and will add some more in the draft. And they have a chance, as you just put together, better positions to get more of an impact piece right now coming out of the draft. So this is going to be interesting. I am really watching what those three teams do. I am really watching to see if those, because those, we talk about the Texans have been aggressive. Those three teams have been aggressive, especially the Titans and the Jags. The Colts have really aggressively signed their own guys, but they've been aggressive. They are in a we want to make it to the playoffs mode now too. So they're going to be interesting to watch because there are a lot of different directions all three of them could go, and they can get impact players.
Well, it hits closest to home because it's in the division. Every team in this division now has a young quarterback that they believe is a franchise-type quarterback, and so now it's just building the pieces around it. It just hits close to home, so that's who you need to watch. The other thing, more specific to the Texans, Ron, is who slides in this draft. I'm looking at Jordan Reed. I like Jordan Reed in terms of a draft analyst, if you will, in terms of prospecting these NFL draft picks. I prefer him, so I'm looking at his mock draft. He's got Byron Murphy, 18 to Cincinnati, defensive tackle out of Texas. He's got Jared Verse, my guy, edge out of Florida State, going 19 to the Rams. And the only reason I'm bringing these up is because these are guys that could start to slide, that are already slated in that late teen, early 20s, that could start to slide and maybe spur Houston. Nate Wiggins, cornerback, Clemson, going 23 to the Arizona Cardinals, which was originally the Houston Texans pick. There's one more, Chop Robinson, Penn State, edge, going 26 to Tampa Bay. Ron, a guy you keep bringing up, Jerzon Newton, a defensive tackle out of Illinois. I saw my boy Brett Bielema get on a plane. I guess they're going to the draft to support Big Newton. Hell, Bielema looks like he can play a little D-tackle now again, too. I guess he
said. Has he gotten down?
Oh, he ain't got on down. No, he's up. He's a heavy. He's a nose guard.
He had been looking like a Ted Washington type the last time I saw it.
Yeah, man, he's up there. Cooper DeJean, cornerback, going 29 to the Detroit Lions. That's the white corner. Be interesting to have the only white corner in the league here to cover. That would be interesting.
Come on, man.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
We had a little fun with that yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Geez. I saw that in the rundown. Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, Alabama, going 31st to San Francisco 49ers. There's a lot of corners. There's a lot of D tackles that are going late in this first round, or slated to go late in the first round, and the Texans could get a tad bit froggy and make a move there. So as the first round, as we get into the second half of that first round, watch for who's sliding, and whether it's to watch and hope that there's some Texans action on the board, or to hope and see, you know, who's going to be available early in the second round. I'll be honest with you, that I think that's where
he moves up.
I think that's where, I think it's sleep on it with Nick. I think it's see how the first half unfolds, and there's going to be one or two guys available that slid out of the first round that are going to now be early second round picks that Nick and D'Amico could potentially move up just a few spots in the second round and grab. I think that's a more likely possibility than moving into the first round where they just had the 23 overall pick and moved off of it.
I think the interesting thing is what are Nick and D'Amico thinking? Like, are they thinking there's a group of players that are worthy for us to move up to, right? So if there's a group of players, I think the point that you're making of sleep on it is something. Or is they, or do they also have the thought of there is a dude? There is a dude that we're keeping an eye on. There is a dude that we're keeping an eye on. Because if it's a group of players, that's an easier thing to we'll sleep on it. But if there's a dude where you're like, if that guy keeps falling, now you get antsy.
Yeah.
I don't know who that dude may be, but that's the thought. Are they looking at a group of players, like Nick has said, or is there also just a, man, if that Cooper DeJean is there, I can't let him go by.
Well, you just the way this draft is shaping up, I think my overall point is the way this thing's shaping up with the quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and wide receivers, there's a real good chance that one of the defensive positions that you at the very least need solid quality depth, if not somebody to compete for a starting job, there's a really good chance that a handful of those players slip into where it's reachable for you if you're the Texans. And so that's all. I mean, I would just keep an eye on that. By the way, Jordan Reed, who I'm talking about, he's with ESPN. He does a phenomenal job with these prospects and these mock drafts. I prefer him. He's got the Texans at 42 taking Chris Jenkins, a defensive tackle out of Michigan, who's a big-time run stopper, room to grow from a pass rushing perspective for what it's worth there. Position of need, I would imagine.
Now, I remember him. He was very He was a beast for them on that side of the ball, but I remember him in Alabama making some plays against Alabama.
Yep.
But not a guy that you're seeing is going to come in and just change things. Right. He'll be a rotation.
All right. Can I give you my shocker that could possibly happen tonight?
Oh boy.
How shocked would y'all be? How shocked would you be if Harbaugh made this move?
If you say J.J. McCarthy, it's not happening.
You know he's been stroking J.J.
Yeah, he's been stroking J.J.
And you know that they need a wide receiver. They've been shedding cap space big time. They got to get younger. If Harbaugh's not blowing smoke, if he really believes this.
There's no way.
Could Jim Harbaugh trade Justin Herbert to the Minnesota Vikings for both of their 2024 ones and end up with three first-round draft picks this year, get your quarterback, get you a tackle, and get you a wide receiver?
No.
All this and the quarterback that you believe is the next big thing in the league?
No, I don't think Jim was hired with, hey, man, you do whatever the hell you want to do.
You think Jim was told, this is the guy you're going
to
win with,
Jim was like, hey, man, we just signed him to this deal. We've got Justin Herbert. Yeah, you can do what you like with the roster, but we're not doing that.
So
could you imagine
you'd
that shocked. Convincing? Absolutely. Convincing that this is what I want to do. I want to pick JJ at six right here. We got that there, and then we can go really build around it. Start. No. Yeah.
God, you know what he could pull. Get that off the cap, and I mean they could end up getting two ones this year and a one next year.
You don't even believe in JJ.
I know I don't, but if I
know it, but I'm not. I'm not trading.
But no, you're
just
you're,
now. You don't believe in Herbert either, but I'm not trading Herbert.
No, I mean, you're trading Herbert for JJ, potentially one of the top three wide receivers in this bunch, as well as a starting tackle.
Yeah, but if you trade. I don't know what we're doing here. This scenario.
It's not as crazy. I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's as crazy as.
If you trade him, JJ has to be has to work. Who gives a rip about the other ones? If you're trading Justin Herbert.
Hold on, so.
JJ has to work.
Has Justin won a playoff game?
That's fine. Justin has earned himself to be one of the top five quarterbacks paid. And nobody but Clint Sterner has blinked about it. Nobody.
I'm just telling you, if I were the head coach and I was sitting up there beating my chest about this kid I knew coming out, and I got another cat that ain't won a playoff game that's locked up $50+ million in my cap.
Yeah, I think they brought him there because they want to have Jim
make
working
Herbert work
with him.
Right.
I think that's probably more likely.
That's what it is. Well,
that's
probably more likely.
I'm just telling you at this point,
with Jim, the way Jim has stroked this kid, it wouldn't surprise me.
I don't know why Jim is doing that so much.
Well, he's trying to get somebody to pick his ass so somebody else falls to him.
I feel like this is how he's letting Justin know off the bat, none of y'all mean that much to me. You know, I have been thinking, I wonder what Justin Herbert's thinking right now. How much he's talking about this cat.
Oh, but yeah. Like he ain't said one time how much he likes Justin Herbert, but he loves this J.J. McCarthy kid.
All right, coming up, we'll catch you up with the latest of how that game broke down and ended. The Astros, they took another L, and they were swept by the Cubs before they head to Mexico City to play the Rockies in a couple of days. We'll get you all caught up with the latest of that and where the Astros are. All of that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Towards first. And that's the ball game. Michael Busch makes a nice stop on the ground ball to the right side. The Astros are swept in Chicago, and they have lost five in a row and eight out of nine to drop to 7-19 on the season. 1-5 so far on the road trip, and today a 3-1 loss to the Chicago Cubs.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I feel like I will. And Clint, this will be very close to you. Maybe this is early. I've been known to make declarations early. But it is 4:25, and it's not even. And when I say 4:25, it is April.
You say it's pretty close to 4:25 p.m. as well. But you're talking about April 25th.
It's April 25th. I'm not saying that the Astros season is over. Although, again, much like Abreu that time, I've got the towel. I've got a foot on the steps as I'm walking up to the end, to the ramp. But Clint, I believe the Houston Astros have Dave Campo. There are some guys that are just not the top dude. There are some guys that are just not the manager, but the bench coach, the head coach, but the head assistant. You've seen it. You've seen guys who have sat next to guys who have been great coaches.
Up close and personal.
I know it. Dave Campo is very close to you. Dave Campo could have sat under Jimmy Johnson for 40 years, and Dave Campo would still never be a head coach.
Football playing Jesse.
Guys, Joe Espada, he's still learning. Whatever. Joe Espada is not a manager. He is not the top guy. And I'm not just basing it off of the worst ejection I've ever seen in my life. Not just that it was common. If you've seen the video, it appears that Joe requested it.
And please, if he did
in
that,
the nicest
dude.
Way, in the nicest way. But it's okay. I've seen guys like managers. The top guys are thinking this all the way. AJ Hinch and Dusty would be thinking, "I'm gonna light a fire right here." All right, this is a chance. This is a thing because he's arguing nothing. That didn't matter. This is a chance for me to go crazy. I'm going to lose my mind out here. I'm going to throw it all. You're not going to get me out of here. My man right here, this is a chance to really set it on fire, Clint. And Dave Campo walked out there. Said, "Sir, can you think you can throw me out?" That's what it looked like he did. And then he casually walked himself right back to the locker room.
Yeah. It was bad.
But it's that combined with everything that we're seeing. The decision making, none of it trying to roll through. Not any of it calming any of it down or changing any of it.
That's some of the weakest ish I've ever seen on a baseball diamond.
And Nick Saban.
Dude.
Nick Saban's
trying not to freak out.
Nick Saban's had a lot of assistants that aren't head coaches. That went to try to be head coaches, and you saw it. They came right back under Nick.
Yep. Bill had several of them. Belichick.
He could sit under Dusty and AJ Hint all he wants. And I believe he sat under both of them. Dude. Joe ain't a manager. Joe's not the top guy.
If he sheepishly just did that.
I'm sorry.
Well, you think he really went out there and asked to be kicked out of the game or something, Tyler?
I mean, it looks like it.
Yeah, look.
Saying I know 100%, but it looks like it.
It does look like
he certainly wasn't doing anything to get ejected.
Right. Look, I was a big fan of the hire, and I don't know whether he's going to be a good manager or not. I really don't. But for me, at this point, April 25th, as you so eloquently pointed out, this early in the season, he doesn't appear to be a leader of men. He doesn't appear to be any level of, "I'm going to light a fire under your ass. I'm going to hold you accountable. I'm going to keep the clubhouse together through adverse times." Like I didn't expect him to be Dusty Baker. I didn't expect him to be a Hall of Fame manager. But I surely thought a guy that was being considered as a manager in the big leagues would be able to go out there and handle these moments. And it doesn't. Just time and time again, It just seems like Joe Espada is in over his head.
That's it. Looks like, I mean, I don't want to say David Culley, but around that, the around that range of, that guy's an assistant. Stupid take on Espada. Quit making excuses for these players performing like crap. They're veteran players. Oh, I'm not excusing them.
They're not mutually exclusive, dude.
I think Joe has also been bad, and I don't think they believe that Joe has the answers.
Yeah.
I don't think that they believe in Joe. They have had, it's crazy, guys, they have had the previous years that Dusty Baker was the manager here, they have had obstacles. They have had many of them. They have had injuries. They have lost major pieces. They lost hell of a lot more than Maldonado, Ryan Stanek, and Hector Neris off a team. Like, they've lost guys. They've had injuries.
Yeah.
They've had poor starts, poor play. Never did you think the thing was unraveling. Never did you think they didn't believe. They don't. They don't look like they believe. They don't. This looks like a mistake.
And Ron's not saying this either. I'm not going to speak for him, but he's not blaming anything on Joe Espada in terms of the start. Like, I don't there when you got players like Jose Altuve, hell, Jose Abreu, when you got Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, I mean, you got Kyle Tucker, Verlander, Fromber, you know, like there shouldn't need to be.
This is not 100% on Joe Espada.
Right, yeah, look, there shouldn't, like, you don't need a Hall of Fame manager like Dusty Baker to keep this thing on the tracks. You shouldn't. But you, through this adversity and through these struggles with the Astros, you can also have an evaluation and an opinion on the job that Joe Espada has done. And right now, through this adversity and through these struggles, the times that we hear from him in the media, the times like today when he goes out there and ends up getting ejected, it looks like he politely asked to be ejected. It's tongue-in-cheek there, but it's what it looked like.
But it's what it looks like.
Like, there's obviously that what has become obvious through these struggles is not just that you're leaderless, I think, from a player's perspective. Like, your better players aren't necessarily your alphas that can control the temperature in the room. It doesn't appear that your manager can't either. Right? That's the scary thing is yes, it's on the players. They've got to play better. They've been awful. If you look at it, don't get lost in certain stats and say, well, this guy's hitting the ball better, he's doing this or that. Like, get down to the reason why they're struggling, and the best players will be involved in some way, shape, or form.
But the previous manager, when you would look at Dusty would come every day and hear fans and Astros fans losing their mind every day about moves and decisions and what he should do and what he shouldn't do.
Well,
Joe was making decisions and changing things up and down the lineup and everything, like he's just changing new draws every day. We're getting in there. Oh, God, no, Maldonado. Oh, he's not listening to you. He's doing what he knows, what he feels like is the right thing. Abreu needs to move. Not doing what he's doing. Nope, he's not. This cat, Alex Bregman, has batted in three different spots since Friday. He started out the season saying they'll always bat right behind each other. Alvarez and Tucker. That has changed before we've gotten to May. He looks like he's just trying things. And then we roll out here, man. That was a read-the-room opportunity right there. And he did what Dave Campo does. No offense to Dave Campo.
Yeah, they get a lot of drive-bys here. But your point is very so valid. It's so spot on. I'm here for it.
And it's so weak. So sheepish.
I mean, that did you.
So
I don't know.
Wimpy.
Hardcore Rockets fan. Did that feel Steven Silas to you?
Oh, God, yes. Damn.
That feels Steven Silas point. To you?
Damn.
Not like we ain't seen it. That feels Steven.
That's a call.
That feels Steven Silas to you? Or that feel Ime Udoka? That feel D'Amico to you? All right, coming up, Tyler brought up a point that we've got to address. The guy who is going number one, I have about had it up to here with Clint's favorite. Wait till you hear what an anonymous scout had to say about the number one pick in the draft. We'll discuss that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, I'll get to one of our favorites, the anonymous scout, real quick. Again, just letting you know, the Astros, they lose Joe Espada, had his first ejection. His first career ejection. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Then text in and tell me how you feel about it.
One of the wimpiest things I've ever seen on a baseball diamond.
YouTube and Twitch, go check it as well.
It's embarrassing, dude. Demoralizing.
Someone text in, John Singleton needs to be playing and not playing Dubon every day are big issues from Joe Espada. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot there. I can't get over the ejection and then the looks on their faces after that game on April 25th. What was it? 2 days ago, Jose Altuve said, "We've been on big runs. We can go 8-for-10. I know we can get hot." And then the way he looked with his head over that railing, like they did against the Rangers when they lost in Game 7.
Uh-huh.
Watch it. That's what it looked like.
You want to hear how that look might sound?
Oh, Lord.
I mean, it's a quote I'll read to you. I just saw this.
Please.
This is strong. This is coming from Mauricio Dubon of the Astros after the loss to the Cubs today. He said, quote,
"Oh God,
it's a slap in the face. If you'd have told me we were going to be like this after we broke camp, I probably would have called bullish. Yes. Things are not going our way right now. We just have to battle through, stay positive, and keep playing baseball." But he said he would have called BS, so they're shocked by it. Didn't see it coming.
They should be shocked by it.
Well, I think we all are.
Yeah, Doobie.
I think, to your point, Ron, of the look on his face after that game, I mean, he's not exaggerating when he says it's everybody's to paint a picture. Everybody's seen this before. You know, a championship is played. It's won. The losing team stays on the court or stays on the field or
watches
stays on the
edge. I thought there was
and
confetti.
Watches the other team celebrate and thinks, man, how hard I've got to work to get back here. That kind of deal. That's what Altuve was doing on the top of the on the top step of the dugout, leaning over the rail, April 25th, 2024.
Bregman's arguing with the umpires.
I mean, it looked like, to me, that's a big part of, we've talked about several different things. That's a big part of why I've been concerned earlier than most and yada, yada, yada. It's because the body language is bad. Like, I talked about the other day. I mean, it's a week ago, 10 days ago maybe, where Ryan Pressly, the pitching coach, comes out there in a clutch situation to talk to him. Ryan Pressly don't even look the guy in his face. Ryan's not, I mean, it's not a, I mean, this seems like everybody's out of sorts to some degree. And it's the body language, the look of we're out of answers. Kind of that's the part that's been concerning me for a long time. And it's just obviously gets worse and worse with every one of these losses.
It does. They're swept. What did we say? How many times? This is the fourth time?
Fourth time. Four and seven games. Seven series this year, they've been swept four times. It was 3-for-6. Now they're 4-out-of-7.
Yeah, we are also shocked too, Mauricio Dubon. All right, the draft is tonight, and Caleb Williams is going to go number one of the Chicago Bears. We got that. But it is a lot to me that has been made of him just leading up to this. I mean, the amount of things that have been said and questioned with him comparative to the other prospects is wild. And I guess that happens when you have been thought to be the number one pick for the last 2 years, and now we've arrived here. This, to me, feels – generally this happens. I watched it with Andrew Luck, Trevor it happened with, Bryce and CJ it happened with. But this is more than I've ever seen, almost with Caleb Williams. This is Dave Fleming, ESPN Magazine, giving an account that he had – with a scout. These are scouts. These are people within
people that are paid. They're paid to evaluate and analyze
They're the ones that give guys like Nick Caserio and D'Amico the real hardcore intel on drafting these guys. This is a scout and what he had to say. An anonymous source. A punk ass who won't come out and put his name on this, if I could just be honest with you. This is what he had to say.
And I reached out to a guy who's really well-connected, a former scout, really well-connected across the NFL with GMs and front offices, and I was blown away by his reaction.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the shit out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing? That was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags. You just lost a game in the middle of your f***ing season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms, and it just seems really freaking weak and nuts. And I will tell you, he scares the shit out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback. Look, I don't know him from Adam. I do not know him. But to me, that looked weak as shit. Really fragile.
I'm over.
Damn.
Like, dude, first off, say your name. What the hell does that mean? He looks like Prince playing.
Yeah.
Playing. Like, this is what happens when you get just old. Like, to me, that sounds like an old dude that doesn't have an understanding or at least a change of what this generation potentially could be about.
Well,
it's just silly. Like, clearly you're equating those dumb things that you're talking about to, like, oh man, he's a weird kid. Now, Aaron Rodgers is weird. His ass can play. There's a lot of weird dudes out here. His ass can play. He's 21. Get out of here.
Yeah, the part that bothers me is that, like, nobody, like, if it were me.
Oh, that really boils me.
Well, it should. If it were me and this guy was saying it to me, like, I would push back. Like, he says, you just lost a game in the middle of a season and you lost three games in the Pac-12. No, actually, he lost three games in the Pac-12. It was at the end of the season, and it was the game that determined the last his last run in college.
His
college career was not going to end in a shot at a national championship.
Or a Pac-12 championship.
Right. It was that game did mean something. Don't paint the picture as it was just a mid-season loss in the middle of the Pac-12 and he's on record of saying that, like, it all just hit. He didn't go to his mom and cry. He talks to his parents, his mom, I guess, after the games, and he's hugging her, and he said it all just hit him at once. He realized, like, that year wasn't going to end in another Heisman. That year wasn't going to end in a championship, Pac-12 or national championship. So, I mean, I don't know. It's have your opinion. I don't care. But, boy, if you're going to be vocal and share your opinion, at least be accurate in what message and what your opinion's built off of, I guess. That's the part that really irks me is don't change the kid's story to fit your narrative.
Like, my thing is, listen, I believe, like, intangibles and leadership is really, really important, especially at that position. But, like one of the things that I've heard from other anonymous scouts, Clint, is he gives real Russell Wilson vibes. One, whatever that means for a kid who is 21, 22 years old, we don't even know where he's going to be in 10 years or in 5 years. Who knows where he's going to be? Second, the Chicago Bears would run tripping and stumbling if they got Russell Wilson. Tripping and stumbling. Like, Russell's weird leadership stuff started to have an issue and his skills deteriorated and he ran into Nathaniel Hackett. That's when the Russ weirdness happened. Because before that, Russ was 11 years in Seattle. 10 years he had a winning record. 8 times he got to the playoffs. He went to 2 Super Bowls and won one with his weird ass. Aaron, some people will look at Aaron as a terrible leader. We have heard many guys from Green Bay talk about Aaron. What can Aaron do? Play. Jay Cutler, a terrible leader. He just slipped himself into an NFC championship game. Like, no one will be talking about the greatness of the leadership that C.J. Stroud as much if they went 3-whatever. Can you play? Get out of here with that point. And then like people can't lead different ways. That runs me hot. Like this dude, like, hey man, he's 21. This is who he's gonna be. For starters, even if you have, like, this is who he's going to be. Yeah. That's it. Like, oh, he's crying to mommy. He's emotional with his parents. He's very close with when his college career is ending.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, listen, yes. Like, I respect the hell out of Clint Sterner for standing up and answering all those questions after some of them tough games. I would not have fought at Clint at all if he was crying in Linda's arms. Oof. I would not fault if Clint was emotional after some really big losses. Hell, I think Clint did get emotional after the win against Tennessee the next year.
There's so many people, they rushed the field. Linda couldn't get there quick enough. So yeah, I mean, ain't no doubt. Hell, I couldn't even talk.
They tried to get the camera to you, yeah. And you went and that you carried that all. I mean, it is just like. Dude is like he. You're out. You're concerned. Like what? What does that mean? He's a weird kid. If he's weird because he paints his fingernails, welcome to a whole bunch of those weird ass kids.
You got several on your squad.
Yes. Coming up, the Astros. They take an L. Joe Espada. He speaks on his ejection. We'll love to hear from him. We'll get you. Ready for what they do in Mexico City. Good news, at least good news with Framber Valdez. We'll keep you updated on that. And we got to answer this question. How many quarterbacks are going tonight? It's the first round. How many quarterbacks are going tonight? We'll discuss that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.